Very, very pleased today to have Diane Pahel with us. She's been working for more than a quarter of a century diligently on the integrity of the Old Man watershed, and her focus today will be on the forest to the west of us, and more specifically on what's going to happen to that forest, what's going to preserve the integrity of the watershed. So we're very, very fortunate to have her here. This is a point that's even more significant nowadays when we know what's happening with the climate change, and we know that southern Alberta is perhaps one of the semi-arid climates that is most at risk and most in need of this kind of good wisdom that Diane's brought to us today. So I'm going to invite Diane up here. The format is that she'll speak for half hour, we'll stop for lunch, and then we'll have questions. So, Diane, welcome.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, and especially on such a gorgeous spring day. I'm going to be speaking about rediscovering our forest reserves as the water towers, and particularly the water tower for the Old Man Basin. Most people, I think everybody by now, has heard about the Water for Life strategy, the importance of planning what we're doing in our water basin so we have water for the future. A lot of that discussion has been about allocation, how to fairly allocate what's becoming a scarce resource, becoming scarce because of the adverse effects of climate change, because of we know we're entering a much drier century anyhow, and as well becoming scarce because of the population growth, the booming population growth we're facing in Alberta. There's also discussion going on about conservation, what you can do to conserve, limit your use of water, including starting right in your whole household. But a key part of this whole discussion needs to be, what about the source of our water? What's being done to look after that source, protect it now, for now and the future? The source of that water is the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains. It's not only the source of the water for Alberta, it's the source of the water for the Prairie Provinces right through to Manitoba. Last fall, the International Rosenberg Forum on Water Policy, which is the scientists and the lead policymakers around the world, met in Banff. For the first time, they looked at a Canadian river system. They looked at the Saskatchewan River system, which includes, of course, the Old Man River Basin. And out of that, they made a number of reports have come from that forum. One of the reports released in March was on the lessons for Alberta and Canada from the Rosenberg Forum. One of their key lessons there is, again, that most of our water does come from the Rocky Mountains, even though when you look at the size of the South Saskatchewan River Basin, most of the land is not in the Rocky Mountains. It's a small land area, but that's where most of the water comes from. And they emphasize the importance of protecting that headwaters. Let's take a closer look. The South Saskatchewan River Basin, and if you go to that Rosenberg report, you'll see a State of the Basin report for the whole Saskatchewan River Basin. Dr. David Schindler did it. And I'm just going to focus on a couple of things. On the upper right-hand corner, you see the river subbasins that make up the South Saskatchewan, the Old Man, the Bow, the Red Deer, and the South Saskatchewan itself. You're all resident in the Old Man. And it's a little hard to see on there, the furthest right dark line through the colors is the green zone or the forest reserve, and then the smaller lines, I'll just step over, here and here, that's Banff National Park, Laurentian Lakes National Park. In the bottom photo from Alberta Environment it shows the runoff, and the darker the blue is the more runoff that's occurring into the basin. And you'll see, again, the darkest blues, the most runoff is occurring here, Waterton, and the southern part of the forestry reserve, which most of us commonly call the castle, and then fading off. So when we talk about the source of the water, the key source you can see on the map, it's the forestry reserve and what's in the national parks. We're fortunate in this part of the world in that that source is public land, national park, forestry reserve land. It's not held in private property rights. So water being a public interest, the decisions about how we look after those places rest with all of us and our elected officials and our civil servants. When we take a closer look at the contribution of particularly land management areas to the watershed of the whole South Saskatchewan River Basin, the green zone, or particularly in the Old Man, what is the Rocky Mountains Forest Reserve, the southern part of it, it's supplying 43% of your water for the whole Old Man River Basin. That's an approximate number, but roughly that. The National Park, which in this case is Waterton in the south, the National Parks, Banff and Waterton, is supplying 28%. So you can see the biggest chunk of water for the Old Man River Basin is really in the Forestry Reserve, and that's under the jurisdiction of the Sustainable Resource Development Department, and your minister for that is now Ted Morton. They're the ones who make all the land use decisions that are affecting the health of that source of water and its yield for the future. It's not the Environment Department. The Environment Department does come into play when it's licensing for withdrawals of water or allocation of water, but it's the Sustainable Resource Development and Ted Morton that's making the decisions on the supply, the future health of that supply. In total, the public lands, the parks, and the green zone are 71% of your supply. The places to be paying attention to. And in that, when you take a look at the Old Man Basin itself, the largest portion of the water, and actually for the whole eastern slopes, is coming from what's a relatively small area. It's coming from the castle part of the Rocky Mountain Forest Reserve, that land in between Waterton Lakes National Park and the municipality of Crow's Nest Pass. That part of the forestry reserve amounts to less than 4% of the whole Old Man River Basin, but it provides 30% of the annual recorded flows of water, and it provides 20% of the naturalized flows. Now, naturalized flows are a calculation to calculate what would be in all the streams and rivers if settlement wasn't here, prior settlement, if we weren't doing all the withdrawals and the dams that are in place. The naturalized flows calculations are used for water management and allocation purposes, including agreements about how much goes downstream then to Saskatchewan and on to Manitoba from Alberta. No question, it's the premier water tower, not just for the Old Man River Basin, but for the whole of the Eastern Slopes region in Alberta, that one small place. This is a map showing your forest reserve. And in the next few slides, I'm going to make the point that the concern for the protection of that source of water, the forest reserve lands, is not new. It's the southern part of the Rocky Mountain Forest Reserve. It includes the waters of the Northwest Branch of the Old Man, the Livingston, includes the Porcupine Hills, and includes the castle area we were just talking about, all known as the Crow's Nest Forest, or in the current language of the department, C5, the C5 Forest Management Unit. if you ask most people on the street or people who spend time out there, you get the impression that the purpose of that portion of the forest reserve is for resource extraction, for timber, for oil and gas, and of course the motorized recreation that goes with all the roads and linear disturbances, seismic lines, and so on that come with the resource extraction. So most people would, if you ask them, they think, well, that's what the forest reserve was set up. Multiple uses, multiple resource extraction. But the forest reserve, when it was set up, first order in council in 1910, set the boundary. When they set the boundary, they sent out people, they sent out foresters and professionals to do a boundary survey to see if the appropriate lands were inside the forest reserve. And they provided a report on their survey. And in that, they emphasized the lands of the original boundary in 1910 weren't appropriate. They needed to move quite a ways east. And the reason was that by the present methods of lumbering, those lands will become deteriorated as regards to future supply and protection of the water flow. The reason those lands are in the forestry reserve today and the current boundaries was because people in 1911 were concerned about protecting the source of water. In 1928, they put out pamphlets for the public. I have yet to be able to find the one for the Crow's Nest Forest. At that time, they were called National Forests because it was the federal government that set up the forest reserve. That was prior to the transfer of natural resources to Alberta. And in those public documents, you can see there the north end of the Crow's Nest Forest, they outlined for the public the reason for the forest reserves. It was for the protection of watersheds. It's for protection and reproduction of timber. It's for the protection of wildlife and wildlife habitat. And they emphasized that scenery and recreation were becoming of major importance in the forest reserve. So forest reserves weren't originally set up for resource extraction. They were set up for those purposes. And when it... Just want to read from that pamphlet. It said, it has been said that one of the primary aims of all national forests is the production in perpetuity of a supply of timber. In mountainous regions, which is the lands to the west here, this use of the forest may, by necessity, be subservient to another use, that of watershed protection. And indeed, by 1947, watershed protection was seen as the primary purpose and importance of the forest reserve. That pamphlet shown there in 1930 on the Rocky Mountain Forest Reserve explains that in 1947, it was recognized that it was such an important area to the nation that it was placed under the control of a joint federal-provincial agency called the Eastern Rockies Forest Conservation Board. That's who originally looked after your forest reserve. It goes on to say it's the duty of the board to protect and manage the reserve so that the yield of water will continue to support the expanding agricultural, industrial, and social needs of the vast West. So that was the purpose of the Eastern Rockies Forest Conservation Board. They looked after your forest reserve with that primary goal in mind. They even mapped out protection forests within it. They looked after that until 1960 when they transferred the responsibility over to the Alberta Forest Service. So present day, it's the Forest Service is now Lands and Forests in the Sustainable Resource Development Department. There is a Forest Reserves Act. It says the purpose of the forest reserves is to conserve forests. It's to conserve other vegetation, such as I would add the 132 rare and threatened plant species in the castle, and optimum water supply. That's what the Forest Reserves Act says. Management is primarily done under the Forest Act. The Forest Act has only basically one criteria for the management of those lands, and that's perpetual sustained yield of wood. Notice it says of wood, not water, which was the primary purpose that the Forest Reserve was set up for. There were public hearings in 74. A part of that was to set priorities for future land uses of the whole Eastern Slopes Basin, including the headwaters of the Old Man, the Forest Reserve. And at those hearings, there was almost unanimous support for the idea that the purpose of the Eastern Slopes, the primary purpose, was for watershed protection. Not resource extraction, but watershed protection. You'll see out of the hearings and the recommendations, the government wrote up the Eastern Slopes policy. That policy hasn't been rescinded. It's still there as a government policy, but unfortunately it's filed away and isn't paid attention to very much. But as one of the principles for the Eastern Slopes, there it is. The highest priority in the overall management of the Eastern Slopes is placed on watershed management. Recreation and tourism benefits from the private and public sectors are also extremely important. The policy also said that the natural resources of the Eastern Slopes will be developed, managed, and protected in a manner that's consistent with the principles of conservation and environmental protection. That's what's supposed to be applied in the management of the Forest Reserve. That wasn't happening. A lot of concerns about management of forests overall in the province led to public consultations that developed a forest conservation strategy, which in part was trying to bring the legislation and policy back in line with the intended purpose of the Forestry Reserve and up to date with concerns for things like the importance of not just watersheds, but protecting the biological diversity of those watersheds. However, that whole conservation strategy wasn't approved. So where we're at today is, even though the Eastern Slopes policy said watersheds the primary purpose of those Forest Reserve lands to the west here, there were no amendments made to the Forest Act to actually state that. Unless it's there in legislation, regulation, and it has a budget attached to it, it's likely not going to happen, and it really hasn't been happening in our Forest Reserve, including the headwaters of the Old Man. The other tool for implementing a policy was the integrated resource plans. I've circled there the two planning areas that are the headwaters for the Old Man Basin. That's the Castle River and the Livingston Porcupine Hills. However, those plans are now decades out of date. They were signed by Cabinet, the Economic Planning's Priority Committee of Cabinet. In them, they said they were going to be updated and reviewed every 5 years. Had that been done, things like the Water for Life strategy would be part of a land use management plan out in the Forestry Reserve, but none of that's happened. So it's back to, as the Forest Act said, Forest Reserve is for perpetual sustained yield of timber, and that's what's been going on out there, plus all the oil and gas activities. This March, I called it the doors opened a crack. The Forest Service Sustainable Resource Development was going to go ahead with another 20 years of clear-cut logging as usual kind of plan for the headwaters of the Old Man River Basin. It was called the C5 Forest Management Plan. It was a draft. There was a time period for public comments on it. What happened with that plan, it did not address water quality. It did not address protecting the yield and the catchment areas of the watershed, in essence, protecting the source of the watershed. It didn't do a cumulative effects assessment of all the impacts of all that logging and oil and gas industry and motorized recreation, all that going on in the forest reserve. They didn't look at the cumulative impacts of all of that on the water supply and the watershed, the timing of the flows and the whole function of that eastern slopes to catch the water for the Old Man Basin in this case. It didn't look at any of those things. Their own advisory committee pointed that out, that that was a problem that was missing. And numerous citizens came forward recently, encouraged the minister to hold off on approving that plan. There's so much missing from it. At least hold off until the State of the Basin report is in from the Old Man Watershed Council. Because after all, the Eastern Slopes policy still says the purpose of this place is watershed protection. And to his credit, he did say, okay, I'm not going to approve the C5 management plan. I'll hold off on that until I see the report from the Old Man Watershed Council on the state of the basin. That's where things sit as of today. There's various ways to look at if the intent of the forestry reserve has been looked up, has been followed. As I mentioned, there's the State of the Saskatchewan River Basin report in the Rosenberg Forum reports. It's a very readable point forum report. I encourage you to look at it. I'm going to take more of an ecological perspective to looking at the health of the watershed for the Old Man. And that one way of doing that is looking at virgin or intact forests. And that includes old growth. Virgin and intact forests provide the highest quality of water. And also because they're cooler and moister than open areas, such as logging clear cuts, they delay snow melt in spring and they act in a way like a sponge, releasing water into the Old Man Basin later into the summer season when it's really needed by all the people who live in the basin. And that's a particularly important function when you're living in the Chinook Belt. And to one way of getting a sense of how well we're doing on the keeping the virgin and intact forests is to look some at the species that are associated with intact forests. How are they doing? They're a good indicator of the health of intact forests and hence the health of our watershed. One of those is pileated woodpeckers. They need mature and old growth forests to survive. However, there's concern about their future, and they are regarded as a sensitive species in the province because we are losing the intact mature forests and the old growth forests. Even though expert panels in 1990 recommended that there be a policy in Alberta for identifying and retaining old growth forests, that hasn't happened. The forest management practice has been to liquidate the old growth forests, and that continues. And this is a map from the Southern Headwaters Species at Risk Project, modeling where the best habitat likely remains for these sensitive or threatened species. And for pileated woodpeckers, it's in the red. Looking more closely at the castle, you'll see that normally a third of the castle would be an old-growth forest. Today, only 8.2% remained as old-growth forest as of year 2000, and more has been cut since. Bull trout's another way of looking at the health of the watershed. throughout the eastern slopes. Their numbers are down, and they're again a sensitive species. Concern for their future is also reflected in the government documents. It's direct, and their reduced numbers is correlated with the increase of the logging and the oil and gas activity and all the disturbances that have been going on in the forest reserve. In 74, the castle was put under reservation for a park, in part, as noted in the Eastern Slopes policy, because of its importance for the watershed. It was named a special place, but it's the only one out of 81 in Alberta that has yet to be legislated as any type of park. Our premier water tower is yet to be under legislative protection. And the Rosenberg Forum report actually noted the castle as an example of a place to protect the headwaters for everybody's water supply in the southern part of the province. But today we still don't have legislation in place to protect the area. It's still open to multiple resource activities and all the off-road vehicle use. There's a big disconnect happening, as hopefully you can gather by now, between what the Forest Reserve was intended for, that of protecting the watershed, and what's actually going on the land. That's a photo. That's an ephemeral creek that's been logged over in the watershed. It's that kind of stuff that reduces the ability of the watershed to supply quality water at a time when people need it later in the summer season. The current priorities of sustainable development, the Eastern Slopes policy said it should be watershed. Current priorities are still perpetual sustained yield of wood, not water, as given to them by the Premier, do the land use planning, but the land use planning isn't looking at cumulative effects, doesn't have the principle of watershed protection being the priority there as a guiding principle for the planning. Another priority the department was given by the Premier is aggressive strategy to protect forest health, which is translated into logging in relation to the pine beetle epidemic. And the other priority is develop a biodiversity strategy. Canada developed the biodiversity strategy 13 years ago in response to an international convention 15 years ago, the Biodiversity Convention. I mean, it's good to have it there as priority, but it needs a budget, it needs people, it needs to be done. We're 13 years late. And I'll just quickly mention the pine beetle. Forest ecosystems can do fine after a pine beetle epidemic. It's happened here before in southern Alberta. Go visit Waterton Lakes National Park, either virtually by looking at their website. You'll see the before and after pictures, descriptions of what has happened. 50% of the pine in Waterton died during the last pine beetle outbreak, but the watershed, the wildlife, the recreation, and indeed really the scenery didn't suffer. And what's there today is a much more diverse forest. Pine beetles have been historically a part of the ecology of a forest. You don't need to log a forest to have a healthy forest ecosystem. Logging a forest often is, from a health perspective, often to the supply of timber and the health of the forest in regards to the timber industry. So the plans so far relating to the pine beetle are based, again, on timber and fiber production as a priority, not watershed protection, and it should be watershed protection in the eastern slopes. And raises the question, what about the eastern slopes policy? It's sad. The resources of the Eastern Slopes policy would be managed based on conservation and environmental protection. What's happened to the watersheds in the equation on the pine beetle plan? It's just not there right now. And what about biodiversity, which is being lost with some of the pine beetle plans? So do take a look at the Wyarton Lakes National Park site, and they'll link you to the Canadian Forest Service information as well. Last point, we all need to take action. And some of you already are on conservation related to the allocation of water. I'm going to use an advocacy statement actually from a government agency. This is from the Rocky Mountains Forest Conservation Board. It's your duty, whoever you are, and your plain self-interest, if you're a resident of the region, to do all you can to see that this magnificent and invaluable watershed is kept green and flourishing. As an environmental activist many years, I can't say it better than they've said it, and that's a government agency. Specifics on what you can consider when you're taking action is ask the person who has a final say on 45% of your water supply, the Honorable Ted Morton, ask that the planning focuses on the protection of the watershed. The C5 Forest Management Plan, the letter I recently received from him, he said it had good points in it, and they'll use that as the basis for a management plan for the Crow's Nest Forest. They're starting again from the wrong basis. They're starting from the basis of timber supply. It needs to start from the basis of water supply for the plan. Ask that the pine beetle plans are amended to take into account watershed protection and protecting biological diversity. And for the premier water tower of the whole eastern slopes, actually, ask that there is legislative protection for the castle. The tool that's there in the legislation right now, in Alberta's package of legislation, is the park system. But SRD, Ted Morton has to agree to it before it can become a park. Second last, ask that the species at risk, Southern Headwaters Species at Risk Project, which looked at biological diversity, what needs to be done, what are the prime areas to protect, look after, ask that that project be completed and put into a management plan. And lastly is the Forest Service, FSC, Forest Stewardship Council certification process. Yes, forests can still supply wood products. And there is a leading edge, cutting edge certification program that takes into account the importance of watersheds and protecting biological diversity and social concerns, cultural concerns for forests. And that is the FSC certification process. What's unique about this part of the Eastern Slopes and the Forest Reserves is the Old Man Headwaters is the one where it hasn't been allocated to any major forest industry through the forest management agreements. All the decisions still rest with the government, with your civil servants and your MLAs. It is the forest that should be leading the way on reaching forest certification standards for products coming out of that forest. ALPAC is working, which has a land area way larger than this, is working on FSC certification. The Headwaters, the Old Man, should be as well, and that goes back to Ted Morton to work on that. So that's my last comment. Thanks.